You're with Bruce Argyle here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 for our regular Thursday morning community conversations program. Thanks for joining us. If you're a regular listener, great to have you back. Hope you've had a great week. If you're a first-time listener, then welcome to the program, and I know you're going to really enjoy it this morning because we're talking about resilience and in the face of all this pandemic stuff and COVID lockdown. On the 3rd of September, I'm counting the days, I know the rest of you are too, hoping that the 13th of September might bring some good news in terms of us being able to get out and about. I saw a great joke last week, a cartoon of a rubbish bin, and it had on the side of the rubbish bin in big letters, "Welcome to 2020, the year my bin went out more often than I did." And I thought that was a great summary of yes, things COVID or something. But look, a big shout out to the team here at Yarra Valley FM 99.1, to Darren and Mark and Robert and Jeff, Karen, Greg and David, the committee of management, and Greg for the work you're doing in keeping the station going in these COVID times. Well done, all of you, and proud to be associated as a volunteer with Yarra Valley FM 99.1. You're not going to believe this, but this morning we have a special guest who is coming to us via Zoom further away than any other guest has ever come. As far as I'm going to make this claim, I think this is the furthest away interview that has ever been done on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. I'll stand corrected by any presenter that wants to challenge that. But there you go, because we're coming all the way from Cunnamulla. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. I think it's about 800 kilometres west of Brisbane. Wow, that is a long haul away. And on the other end of the Zoom, my Zoom camera there, I can see very clearly Megan Buntine. Megan, Cunnamulla, really? You're a long way from home.
I am, and it's lovely up here, but it sounds like it's the weather's starting to improve down there too. Spring's certainly sprung and sun's coming out and the flowers are coming out. So that's good down there too.
It's been a long time coming, and well, it is officially spring, as you're saying. So we've all sprung. We'd just like to be able to spring out of our houses a little bit more, I think, Megan. Excuse the bad pun, but 3rd of September. Sure. We're less than 4 months till Christmas. Wow, I wonder what we'll be doing by then. But tell us what you're doing in Cunnamulla. That is really a long way away.
Well, it is a long way away, and it wasn't intentional to be here, to be honest. We left home shortly after lockdown 1.0 for a five-week holiday, and as things progressed down in Victoria, Dan Andrews just kept extending our holiday. So we've been very fortunate to be able to get into Queensland sort of between border closures and catch up with family and do a bit of a road trip that we certainly weren't expecting, to get up to Cooktown and over to Carumba on the Gulf of Carpentaria.
Well, you can stop right there, Megan. We're very jealous. That is amazing.
But we're getting homesick, and we're hoping that regional Victoria will open up very soon and we'll be able to come back home.
Wow, yes, and safe travels, and look forward to seeing you back in Victoria sometime soon. We're going to talk, listeners, this morning about resilience, because in these very challenging times, resilience is important, and let's see if we can together bounce it around a little bit and perhaps come up with a few tips and ideas and things to take away that might make us more resilient. The dictionary definition of resilience says the capacity to recover from difficulties, toughness. So the capacity to recover from difficulties, and we've certainly had plenty of those in Victoria over recent times. We've only got to look back. Well, currently, of course, the pandemic, but not so long ago, the bushfires earlier in the year and later last year, particularly in Gippsland and southern New South Wales. And, well, back to 2009, of course, our Black Saturday bushfires here in the Yarra Valley. So lots of very challenging times for us. And Megan, do you describe yourself as a resilient person?
Yeah, resilience is an interesting concept. It's something that I'm really interested in, and I think that it's something that you build over time. I'm by no means an expert in the topic, but I think I've sort of learnt about it a bit through osmosis over the years, through various experiences and knowing various people who've gone through some pretty challenging times, and observing, you know, not just people who you know personally, but just people around the world, really, and how they manage in the face of university. And it was interesting. I was participating in a webinar series recently with the Goulburn Broken Catchment Management Authority, and they use resilience as a underpinning principle, I guess, for their forward planning. And the guy who was running the webinars, one of the real chords that struck with me was this notion that we don't bounce back from adversity with resilience, we bounce forward. So I guess what he was saying there was that we always take the legacy of whatever the adverse incident or circumstance was that goes with us into the future. Now, we talk about wanting to get back to normal after events like pandemics and bushfires and things like that, but it's never quite the same normal. It's the new normal. It's the normal that encompasses what we've learnt through that traumatic experience or whatever the case may be.
Mm. And there's plenty of examples, Megan, aren't there, through human history, but even in the last century, of people who, despite horrific circumstances, whether that was I think you shared with me the example of Viktor Frankl, a Holocaust survivor, for example, and others who have had to face terrible health issues and burns and other things. What, you know, and even our own, you know, Port Arthur massacre and the amazing Alana and Madeline Foundation that was born out of that. Is resilience made, or is it born? You know, in terms of is it something that some people have more of and some people have less, or is it?
Look, I don't know. I think, you know, it's the old nature versus nurture question again in a different form, isn't it?
Yes.
How much of it is part of our character and our personality, but also how much of it is through our environment, our early years, our upbringing, how we're taught to be resilient, the things that we go through that force us to be resilient. Some of those people that you've talked about, you know, think about Viktor Frankl, for example, and the, you know, experience he had in the Holocaust, in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany, and the positivity that he maintained through that, and that sense of purpose. I mean, he talks about that in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, that sense of purpose, having that sense of purpose as to, you know, why you want to get out the other side of this, and just continually visualising that is what kept him sane, really. So, you know, that sort of sense of positivity and purpose was something that themes that came through a lot in the reading that I did sort of over the last day or so to think about resilience and what it means and who has it and how they display it.
We're going to come back immediately after this song that Megan has selected for us, which is Men at Work Down Under, and talk about some of the strategies, some of the things that we can perhaps do, just little things even, that will build resilience and help us to not only survive, but to thrive post-pandemic. So look forward to having that conversation straight after Men at Work.
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies, I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under, where women go and men wonder? Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under, where leaders flow and men chunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
And this morning we're talking about resilience, and I can't think of a more appropriate time as we are all challenged with the current pandemic. And all the way from Cunnamulla in far west Queensland, we have our very own Megan Buntine, and we're talking resilience. And Megan, I'm just wondering, to set the scene, do people inherently have different levels of resilience? So are some people just by nature more resilient than others? Let's start there.
Yeah, and I think that takes us back to that question of nature versus nurture again, doesn't it? I think, you know, part of it is your character and what your capabilities are, but you learn along the way too. You know, certainly I know through my experience on Black Saturday, for example, coming out the other side of that, I certainly feel a lot more resilient by the challenges that we went through and, you know, the aftermath of that and how you dealt with it. It sort of gives you a strength, I guess, next time you're faced with adversity as to how you might work through that, or at least knowing that you can come out the other side of it. I think that's often a challenge too. And I'm sure people are sort of seeing that, you know, particularly around having to go through the lockdown experience again. You know, what do we learn first time around that we can help us cope better second time around?
So let's go then to organisations. What about organisations? Are some organisations, community groups, are some of those entities more resilient than others?
Look, I think that they are. I've certainly seen a number of organisations that had, and again, I think it all, I don't want to bang on about planning a lot, but I think it all comes down to forward planning. And we talked about, you know, crisis planning last time we spoke.
Yes.
On the radio. And I think that that's a really key point to organisational resilience, is having those systems and processes already in place. You've already thought through how you will deal with things. You've done that scenario planning. And then that enables you to have a tool there to use when the chips are down and you need to put things into action, and you know, you may not necessarily be thinking as clearly because you're stressed, having those things in place, whereas other organisations that perhaps don't have that, and I know it's, you know, policy and procedure and things like that bore the, you know, what out of people at times, but
yep.
It's an example of why it's important and how it can help. I mean, you look at, I think, you know, we talked over the email earlier this week about the organisations, the not-for-profits that have been going for 100 years, you know, why are they different? Why do they hang in there? Sometimes I think it's about their, you know, they've become sustainable, whether that's about financial sustainability, they've got the reputation, the positive reputation within the community, people will help them out in their times of need. So a whole range of different things. It's a really interesting topic. It's really interesting to examine different organisations and look at what are the particular characteristics that have made them so long-standing.
And Megan, let's, everybody stating the bleeding obvious, we're all talking about COVID, unfortunately, and I'm just going to be cheeky and ask you, do you think COVID in itself is almost a test for resilience, a test of resilience, and the big question is, how do we pass or fail? Now, you know, do you think it is a test of resilience?
Well,
that's a tough question.
any adverse event is going to test your resilience. And an event like this that's on a global scale, it's not just a hark back again to the bushfires, wherever, you know, whether it was our local ones or in other parts of the state or the country. But that's a pocket or a community or a region that develops that resilience, whereas this is a global event that we're all going through together. So it's going to play out on the world stage, really, isn't it?
So how do we pass the test, if you like? I mean, what are the hallmarks of, you know, passing the test?
I don't think there's a rule book, and I don't think there's a gauge of passing the test necessarily. I think it's individual for everyone. You know, what's meaningful for you, what's meaningful for me, it could be two different things. So, you know, how do we come out the end of it reasonably intact?
Well, let's go to strategies then, because I promised before the last song that we would talk strategies and perhaps a few tips along the way. You were telling me on email earlier in the week, Megan, about just some of the basic things that we can do in terms of looking at making ourselves resilient. Do you want to just share perhaps a couple of those?
Yeah, sure. A few of the things that really came through for me when I was doing that little bit of research was, as I said before, you know, that notion of having that purpose and that positivity that really came through strongly. I don't know if you saw Sophie Gelesio on Arndo's Brush with Fame recently.
Megan, but tell us, yes.
Yeah, so she was the young girl that everybody, I'm sure, would have heard of. She's now 19 years old, but when she was two, a car ploughed into the childcare centre that she was attending, and she ended up with horrific burns and had to have both of her feet amputated and lost one of her ears and her hand. I think that was the main extent of her injuries. Anyway, she not only had that terrible experience that was life-threatening, and I think that was the one that she said they nearly had to turn off the parents had to make a decision as to whether to keep the life support on or not. But she also then, a few years later, when she was in her pram, was hit by a car. So this poor young kid has had pretty horrendous experiences. But hearing her interviewed by Anne, she is just so positive and so driven, and she looks at it that the life that she has now is a great life, and it wouldn't be with that life without the adverse experiences that she's gone through. And you hear that sort of sentiment coming out, I think, with a lot of people who've had those sorts of terrible things happen to them, that positivity just shines through.
And she's raising funds for research and into paediatric burns and related diseases now, Megan, which is amazing.
Yeah, well, her parents set up a foundation as a outcome of what they went through to support other people going through similar sorts of issues. Another woman I know, who I know personally, she was struck down with a Hep A infection and septicemia and spent 10 months in hospital. And she's very lucky to survive, but she's now also a quadruple amputee. And she says herself that poking fun at her circumstances is what gets her through, on most days gets her through. And she's gone on to, she's now a public speaker. She's founded an international network for quadruple amputees. Because she couldn't find anything in that space to support her when she was first recovering. So, you know, she's doing amazing things that, again, she wouldn't have done had she not had that terrible experience.
Certainly brings things into perspective, Megan. I'm just wondering, for those of us, fortunately, who don't have to go through experiences that are that horrific, you mentioned even, you know, getting out to nature and, you know, having a pet that loves you, you know, even little things like that, for the rest of us can make a big difference.
Yeah, you know, at times like we're going through at the moment with the pandemic and, you know, having some extreme restrictions on where you can go and what you can do, I think a lot of people are finding that they're reconnecting with nature. You know, just being able to go for a walk, even if it's only within a 5K of home, you can get out and in the fresh air, particularly as the weather's improving. Those sorts of things. It's interesting, mindfulness is another thing that I've seen come to the fore a bit through the recent times. A lot of psychologists, positive psychology experts and people like that are promoting the benefits of mindful practice, which, I mean, really, going for a walk and observing the trees and natural surrounding as you go is a simple version of mindfulness anyway.
Megan, you've selected a range of songs from your travels around New South Wales and Queensland. And do you want to introduce this? This is Gangajang and Sounds of Then. Any particular reason why you've selected that one?
I think it's an oldie but a goodie. It's one of those songs, I can't remember when it came out. I'm guessing it was probably gone 30 years ago now, I reckon. But at the time it came out, it just evoked, and it was probably the film clip they did with it, but it just evoked images of, you know, the cane country up along the coast of northern Queensland, and having just driven through a lot of that, it was one that sprung to mind when I was coming up with the list.
Well, let's enjoy.
The sounds of them and people talking, scenes recalled by minute movement and songs that fall from a backing tape, a certain texture, that certain smell, the lying sweat of familiar sheets in briefing on finance beds in a room with silent hearty face, a certain texture, that certain smell. Brings home the heavy day, brings home the nighttime swell. Out on the patio we sit, and the humidity we breathe. We watch the lightning crack over cane fields and laugh and think, this is Australia. The block is awkward, it faces west, long diagonals and sloping too. And in the distance, through the heat haze, in convoys of silence, the cattle graze. A certain texture, that certain beat, brings forth the nighttime heat. Out on the patio we sit, and the humidity we breathe. We watch the lightning crack over cane fields, laugh and think that this is Australia.
With Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations on Thursday, the 3rd of September. I think we have a maximum of 20 degrees today. We're officially in spring. If you're looking around the valley this week and next, you'll see that the vines, the buds are bursting, and the vineyards are starting the cycle of the new season going ahead. And it's a great time of the year. Spring, lots of blossom and buds out there for those of you who are keen gardeners like myself. Wonderful to see all of that happening. And we just hope that we'll be able to get out in 10 days or so and enjoy that a little bit more. It is lockdown, and We're talking about resilience this morning, resilience for individuals and for organisations. And what is it that somehow makes for resilience in individuals? What is it that determines that some organisations bounce back and bounce along really well? And as Cora was just saying off air, you know, have been around for 100 years or 200 years. What's the difference? Why is that so when other organisations, other businesses and so on fall over in their first year? We've talked about some of the strategies, and Megan, you were just saying about keeping things in perspective as well. I like your analogy there about bouncing forward rather than bouncing back. Bouncing is, it's kind of like, you tell me, is it kind of like taking the event, that whether it's a bushfire or whether it's a disaster or a major health issue, and looking at how that can propel you forward from there? Do you want to just expand on that a little bit?
I guess what I took away from that webinar where the guy talked about bouncing forward was that, pardon me, that inherent in the adversity that you experience, there's learnings. So you can't help but take those learnings forward with you. So you're bouncing forward into the new normal in how you post whatever it was, how you manage. I think we talked before about what makes for a resilient organisation. And I think something that I learnt out of my time with Rivers and Rangers was because resilience was a big part of what underpinned what they do. So really the connections and the networks that you can build, whether it's individually or organisationally, will help you through those difficult times as well. How you sort of interact with others across your community or your broader region, who you've got to call on in difficult times, I guess, is what it comes down to in whatever context you're operating, whether it's individually, as I said, or whether it's in the context of your organisation. That notion of collaborate or perish, it comes to the fore at times like that, particularly for organisations. So it's about how we collaborate with other organisations that are similar to ours. We're not competing, we're all supporting each other.
Mm. It's challenging in terms of connecting with people at the moment, and even for volunteers, if we just briefly speak about that, Megan, too, for organisations, people who have volunteered to be of service in service organisations, who are delivering emergency meals, etc., etc., this is a challenging time to connect with organisations too, isn't it? And I just wonder sometimes whether resilience becomes a bit of an issue there too.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I think, you use the example of delivering meals, and I think about Hickey in Healesville and around the area there, the amazing work that they do. And I'm sure that it's almost like they're having to look after two cohorts at the moment. They're looking after the people who they normally serve, but they're also having to look after their volunteer team to keep them engaged and keep them connected and make sure that they're okay, so that when we come out the other side of this, they've still got an engaged, robust workforce of volunteers who can help them do the amazing work that they do for the broader community.
Mm. This is a biggie, Megan, but just reflecting, do you think that Australian communities, individuals within those communities, will be more resilient post-pandemic? Do you think that we are building some resilience for the next disaster, dare I say, the next major issue that comes along?
Look, this is just my naive view, but surely we've got to be. Whether it's across the country when there's a drought or, fires or floods or pandemics like we're all facing now, you've got to come out the other side of that surely with the capacity to do more. But I guess also the flip side of that is, if you look at the pandemic specifically, there's been a lot of parallels drawn, obviously, with the Spanish flu pandemic.
Yes.
100 odd years ago. And in some ways, there's commentary about the fact that we didn't actually, whilst that was managed at the time, historically we haven't learnt from that. So it's almost like once the living memory of that episode is gone, that we don't have that expertise necessarily still within our population.
We're going to squeeze it in here, one of your other selections. It's Yothu Yuindi and it's Treaty. Any any particular reason why you chose that one this morning?
I guess driving around outback Queensland with the big sky and the, you know, the horizon shimmering off in the distance just sort of reminded me of that song.
Fantastic.
FM would like to say a very big thank you to all of our valued sponsors. We really appreciate your support to keep our community radio station alive and well while we get your message out to our listeners. Our long list of sponsors is on our website at yarravalleyfm.org.au. Please check out our sponsors page and take your business to these generous businesses. Click on the logos to go to their websites. If you'd like to get your message on air and on our website, call us on 5961 5999.
And a big shout out to all the amazing organisations. Megan's just mentioned Hickey a little while ago, but to all of the community organisations, both local, state and federal, that are looking after people at the moment to Lifeline. Rebecca, I know you're listening this morning. Big shout out to you and your team at Lifeline, the amazing work you're doing to support people. And if you are one of the volunteers that are working to make our life during the pandemic more bearable and for us to keep on keeping on, thank you for all the work that you are doing. We've been talking about resilience, and my very special guest is Megan Buntine. And Megan currently is all the way up in Queensland. But if you, after this program, want to make contact with Megan or find out some of the amazing resources that she has, which are free on her website, just go to MJB Consulting. It's all one word, mjbconsulting.net.au, and you'll find all sorts of resources there around governance, around strategic planning, around workshops and things, particularly for not-for-profit organisations and community groups. Megan, I've noticed during pandemic that as I'm out on my morning jogs, people are saying hello, and there's a sense of we're all in this together in terms of community. I'm seeing more kindness, I'm seeing a little bit people being a little bit more tolerant and gentle, and perhaps a bit more understanding than other times. Do you think those are the kind of things that make for resilience and will stand us in good stead coming out of the other side of the pandemic?
Yeah, look, I don't know if it's necessarily what contributes to resilience, but I think it's certainly a really nice byproduct of what we're going through, and people just sort of taking that step back, you know, watching their behaviour, thinking about others more. I think initially there was a lot of perhaps fear and frustration and angst, and so people had short fuse, but we've sort of all checked ourselves a bit better, and we're being a bit kinder to each other, which I think is really important, because we're all, you know, doing it tough. In one way or another, everyone's challenged by this. So if we just give each other a bit of scope, I think it's really important.
Mm. We're going to finish off this morning by talking a little bit about some foundations for community resilience, Megan. You were sharing some of that with me off air, and I'm going to pass the ball to you, because I think it would be really good, and perhaps you could even give us a website where we might go to just conclude with some tips on resilience. There you go.
Sure. So, as I said before about networking and connections being part of what makes us resilient, this is something that I sourced from one of my networks, one of my tribes, through the Community Leadership Network. And Michelle passed on to me this website. It's resilience.org, so www.resilience.org. And they talk about the six foundations for community resilience. And I think just looking through these, I think these foundations can apply to us individually as well. They can apply to us organisationally as well. So I'll just run through them and give a bit of an explanation. So tell me if I need to...
Oh, thanks, Megan.
We're running out of time.
That's all good.
So the first of the six, they talk about people. So having the power to envision the future of the community and build its resilience resides within community members. So the individuals within the community are the starting point, is what I took from that. Secondly, they talk about systems thinking. So thinking about what are the systems and the processes and the networks across our communities, I guess, that enable us to become more resilient. They say it's essential for understanding those interrelations. Adaptability is the third one. You know, how can we work through, be more adaptable in the face of change and being resilient? Transformability is the fourth one. Sustainability. Thinking about community resilience is not sustainable if it serves only us and only now. How do we do it so that it's working for future generations as well? And then the last one, I know we're running out of time, is about courage. Having the courage as individuals and as a community. We need courage to confront the challenging issues and to take responsibility for our collective future. So I thought that was just a nice little way to sum up. So if people are interested in looking at that further, it's resilience.org. And it's their six foundations for community resilience.
Thank you, Megan. And on that note, listeners, we are going to have to wind up this morning. Megan, thank you for zooming into us all the way from Cunnamulla in Queensland. Been wonderful to talk with you this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to talk with you guys too.
And onwards and upwards. And may your resilience come forth, or something like that. We're looking forward to some different times in the near future. Thanks for being a part of the conversation this morning.